Meir Kahana is the American rabbi who founded the Jewish Defense League, was often called the father of Israel's radical extremist movement, and was killed by an Egyptian-born American in 1990. Now, his grandson, Meir Ettinger, has been detained in Jerusalem, where he's accused of conspiracy, membership in an illegal organization, and nationalist crimes, because he is a member of the group Hilltop Youth, a radical group of young settlers calling for violence to achieve goals. Group members are accused of carrying out last week's firebombing of a Palestinian home, which killed a toddler. Reports in the Israeli press say Ettinger was planning new violent acts against Palestinians as part of what he calls the revolt. And he wrote extensively about dispossessing Gentiles and replacing modern Israel with a kingdom of Israel based on religious law. So, what does his five-day preemptive arrest mean? Bernard Avishai teaches at Dartmouth College and the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He's written extensively about Israeli politics and joins us from Dartmouth. Professor, welcome.
Pleasure.
So in the past week, we see Ettinger's arrest, that firebombing, terrible incident, a Palestinian home firebombed, a toddler killed, and earlier in the summer, the burning of a church in Galilee. What are we seeing here?
Well, you know, in any population of 1,000 people, you're going to have somebody willing to commit a heinous crime. I think the real question is, what is the ideology incubating such people? Ettinger himself, he may be Meir Kahana's grandson, but he's kind of a sideshow here.
Well, remind us, who is Meir Ettinger?
Meir Ettinger is someone that nobody really heard of until he was arrested. He's one member of a Hilltop Youth gang. The Hilltop Youth are sort of radical members of settler groups in West Bank areas who think their parents are too stodgy and who don't want to wait for formal expropriations of land in order to build settlements, but think the best thing to do is simply to capture hilltops and dare the Israeli government to dislodge them.
And when you say wait for land, this is land that's been given to Israelis that Palestinians dispute and say is their land, but it's land that the settlement is being built on. And this young group thinks that it's not enough and they want to seize more. How else would you describe their ideology? It's almost as if Meir Ettinger speaks of, well, the equivalent of a caliphate.
You know, it's one way to look at it. Certainly there are parallels between the Hilltop Youth and Hamas activists, Hamas radicals. They also have a kind of formal, I'd say even fundamentalist religious ideology, a kind of holy trinity of the land of Israel, the people of Israel, the Torah of Israel, which they think justify the expropriation of the entire ancient land of Israel.
But can we also add the killing of Christians and Gentiles? I mean, it sounds as if his language sounds as if they need to be eliminated.
Clearly, they would never argue that it's perfectly fine to commit random acts of violence. In this case, I think what they were trying to do was, in their view, take revenge actions against what they consider to have been acts of violence against Jews in the West Bank. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying in any way to whitewash their ideology or their radicalism. But people like this always couch their actions in terms of preemption. In other words, what they're merely doing is responding to something that was done to them. And you can sort of unspool this vendetta culture back to the Balfour Declaration of 1917. That was the declaration that the British government promulgated in order to found a Jewish national home in Palestine during the time of the British occupation after World War I. So what we're dealing with here are a bunch of young people who are extremely marinated in a political culture in which both religiously and ideologically, they view the land, the ancient land of Israel, as being theirs by promise. The Arabs there are either somewhat distracting impediments on the landscape that have to be removed eventually. They should go and form a government for Palestine on the other side of the Jordan River. Or they are, you know, deep down a threatening group of people. If you scratch them, you get Hamas terrorists. If you scratch them, you get Islamic terrorists. So it's not
really— This is what
really,
they say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not really theft if they're trying to kill you. You see, that's sort of— that's the ideology is always kind of deeply rooted. The question is, what are the social atmospherics that produces the ideology? As I said before, in any group of people, there are some people who commit atrocities. The question is, what are the concentric circles around them?
Well, what do you think they are? And in the same answer, maybe, what are your thoughts about the government's response? Because Prime Minister Netanyahu tweeted out, "This is an act of terrorism in every respect. The state of Israel takes a strong line against terrorism, regardless of the perpetrators." This is, of course, talking about the firebombing of the Palestinian home. It's thought that Meir Ettinger is part of the group that might have had something to do with that, and that's why he's being literally taken out of society because of that suspicion. Some people would say that that's an uncharacteristically strong response from government officials.
It is. It is. It's strong against Jews. I mean, the Administrative Detention Act, which gave the government the right to detain Ettinger, has been used against Palestinian activists, suspected terrorists, suspected radicals for two generations. So, you know, it's rare that this is used against Jews. It's not rare that it's used against terrorists.
In fact, you say this might be the first time you remember that a preemptive administrative hold has been placed against a Jewish terrorist.
Right. Well, I think it was used once or twice before, but it's very, very rare. But again, we have to remember, Ettinger is sort of small potatoes. The Kahanist movement in the Israeli right is a kind of sideshow. I mean, you had a member of the Israeli right assassinate an Israeli prime minister 20 years ago this fall. These people, and by the way, if you take polls in Israel, somewhere between a quarter to a third of Israelis want to see the assassin freed. So you have a pretty large number of people in the country who are quite sympathetic to the ideology of these settlers, even if they would never endorse an act of terror like this.
And by the way, that assassination, of course, was of Yitzhak Rabin. But talk more about what some of the societal pressures are that produce fundamentalists, in this case in Israel, on the right. Are you saying that it's maybe those on the right who have also been dismissing the two-state solution, dismissing the possibility of peace, that somehow produced this extremist force on their side of that debate?
I think the Israeli right is feeling both oddly triumphant on the one hand, because so many of them are crucial parts of the Netanyahu coalition, but also very defensive on the other, because they know that there's a kind of mobilization internationally against the settlement movement, both in Europe and even in the United States. So there's a sense that, you know, any action that the Israeli government takes to constrain the settlements has got to be answered with some kind of act of dramatic resistance. Now, very recently, last week, the Netanyahu government evacuated a little settlement called Bet El, which was started by groups like the Hilltop Youth. And the action by these young people who perpetrated this horrible crime was, they would say, simply a response to the government's treachery. Netanyahu then turned around and authorized 300 new settlement units in other parts of the West Bank. So you have this kind of push-pull in the Netanyahu government. He'll condemn terrorist actions of this Jewish underground, but then he'll say, "We condemn our terrorists. The Palestinians never condemn theirs," which is, of course, not the case.
Well, that was going to be my last question. Do you think that this arrest, this preemptive arrest of this young Jewish man, signals any change? And it sounds like maybe you're saying no?
Signals any change on the part of the Netanyahu government towards the settlement enterprise as a whole?
Right.
No. Not only that, but Naftali Bennett, who's a member, a crucial member of the Netanyahu government, showed up at Beit El, which the government had just evacuated, showed up at Beit El a couple of days later, and told the young activists and cadres who were forced off that settlement, "We're with you. You're our brothers. The government acted precipitously under pressure. They should never have caved in." I mean, you have this sort of curious government response to this, which is, we condemn the action, but the ideology that is presumably producing the action is actually, in a way, official business.
That's Bernard Avishai. He teaches at Dartmouth and the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and has written extensively about Israel. Professor, thanks so much.
Thank you.